Other federal incentives that exist are the or initiatives of the EPA Brownfields Program. And this program was just reaffirmed in 2018 with the Brownfields Utilization Investment in Local Development, which the acronym there is BUILD, Act, which really reauthorized the program. And within that program are various grant opportunities for redevelopment of brownfields. One thing I'll mention now is when you're looking at the federal incentive programs and there is a funding opportunity associated with them, one thing to be aware of is, you know, the use of EPA funding can trigger potentially NEPA review. So you just, need to recognize that with the good, come some complications potentially in terms of accepting federal funds for a project. And then as well, there are federal tax credits that are geared toward reutilization and, reinvestment in brownfields. I've listed three here, the Business Energy Investment Tax Credit. There's qualified opportunity zones and new markets tax credit. And I am not a tax lawyer. So for these in particular, there is a lot of information available, but I'm not the resource for the tax, for the detailed information on the tax credits. And at the state level, there are also various programs available. And on those, I've just given some examples here. So the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environmental Brownfields Program provides a variety of resources to property owners for brownfields redevelopment, including assistance with environmental site assessments, tax credits, revolving loans, and up to $250,000 a year in statewide project funding. So that's one. Minnesota has the Contamination Cleanup and Investment Grant Program and a cleanup revolving loan program that can help pay for assessing and cleaning up contaminated sites for private or public redevelopment. And the loan program provides low interest loans for those types of projects. New York has a really interesting program. They have a brownfield cleanup program, and they also have an accelerated renewable energy growth and community benefit act that's been passed. And my understanding is they have kind of the first of its kind office within the government to promote the siting of renewable energy projects. And on April 3rd is when this act passed, and it really is, it's aimed at improving siting and construction of large-scale renewable energy projects in an environmentally responsible and cost-effective manner. And Rhode Island also has a solar brownfields incentive program, which includes funding that's available from the state's participation in the greenhouse gas trading program known as REGI. Okay, I'm going to move on to, you've decided, hey, it makes sense. Let's consider doing a renewables project on a potentially contaminated land. What do we do on the environmental diligence front? Now, when I talk about the environmental aspects of these projects, I'm going to talk about some features that are, specific to brownfield sites, as well as some that are more generally applicable to any renewables project development, just so you get the full picture of what you would be looking at. So I'll talk a little bit more about the phase one environmental site assessment, but there's the typical work that you do for any projects in terms of going in and doing a phase one environmental site assessment. There's a potential need for phase two sampling, so that's testing predominantly here the soil or the groundwater. If there's a site that's been through the cleanup process and there's a lot of data. You may not need it to do any of that. So that's, some of these sites, you'll know a lot more about what's there than you would if you were doing a greenfields or suspected greenfield site. But depending upon where it is in the project and if it's suspected contamination, not known contamination, you may need to do some groundwater and soil sampling really to understand what's there, what you may encounter as when you're working on your project and just understanding the risks associated with the project. The next one is one that's really important, and that's really understanding where the site has been in terms of contamination and cleanup and where it may be going into the future. So really understanding what cleanup has been done, what cleanup is planned. Are there any required demolition activities? Are there, if it's a mining site, what reclamation might be required? And understanding how those site conditions will factor into your proposed development, and making sure that you can coexist with, what's happened in the past, as well as any plans for the future in terms of sequencing of activities, or if there's additional or continued monitoring activities that's cited in such a way that it's not going to impact operations. And as part of that, one of the things you'll do is to look at